Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
So what happens when you get together in your church and you have a meeting and you decide, what are we going to do in the future? How are we going to reach our community? And you go through all of these steps. Well, this is the demographic of our community, and this is how our community is changing, and so forth and so on. I'll bet you a bag of cookies. Can we do that?
Yeah.
I'll bet you a bag of cookies that one of the last groups that you are concerned with in your church, I'm just talking about experience with most churches, is the senior adults.
Yep.
And yet it probably is maybe the largest group in your church. This is Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton. And there's Mark Halleck. I'm Dan Hurst. Kyle Bierman at the controls. And we're following up on something that we talked about last time, which was the demise, if you will,
The decline of attendance of senior adults.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, if you missed the last episode, Rainer's research and others' research shows that in the last 20 years, active attendance among people of the age above 65 20 years ago was 60% of those people were involved in church. Today, 45% of those people are involved in church. It's just amazing that the actual percentage of people over the age of 65 who are involved in church is going down significantly.
Yeah. And yet, it's one of the fastest growing demographics
in America. Of
course,
it's the baby boomers. Every day, it's like a million of them become 65, for goodness sake. And yet, we're seeing fewer and fewer of those over the age of 65 stay active in church. And so, we talked last time, and you go back and listen to it, about the four or five reasons that senior adults, and they don't just get mad and storm out. I mean, some of them do, but then young adults get mad and storm out. Most senior adults just slowly quit coming a little at a time until they finally vanish, and you don't even know they're gone until you realize they're some of the best volunteers we ever had. They're some of the most dependable. They came early. They stayed late. They did whatever we asked them. Plus, they didn't only tithe. They gave to special missions, special offering, and now they're gone. And it is critical that we don't lose them. And so you're right, Dan. When we sit around and we're going to plant a new church, we talk about how we're going to reach young people, or we're going to grow our church, how are we going to reach young people? Of course we need to do that. But do we ever think, how are we going to reach the 88-year-old widower who now lives alone after his wife of 63 years has passed away and he's down the street and he doesn't go to church anywhere? What's our need? He still needs to be reached. He still needs to be loved and cared for. What are we doing about him? What are we doing about the older adults in our community, in our church, who are now trying to be caregivers for their spouse and how that has changed everything about their life? Or those who now can't hear anymore or can't see anymore or can't walk anymore, can't go upstairs anymore, how that has changed their life. You know, we used to just say, well, they're shut-ins. You got to be a Christian to know what that word means.
Yeah.
But we heard it all the time I was growing up. Got to pray for the shut-ins, you know, like they're, I don't know, like they're in prison or something.
Yeah.
We got to love those people and engage them. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is how we can re-engage older adults. Now, one of the ways you can do it is by not giving them stupid names.
Yeah. Oh, why do churches do that?
Oh, man.
They do. Our friends at – we're going to put this in the show notes because I want Texas Baptist to be responsible for this, not me.
This is painful, by the way.
TexasBaptist.org presented this list of some of the names, and some of these are your names. Some of you are listening to me, you call your senior adults names like this, all right? Look, one of the things, I know some senior adults maybe want to be treated like they're in grade school, but most of us, and I am a senior adult, I don't want to be treated like that. I want to be treated with respect and dignity. I want to be given something meaningful to do. I don't want to just be put on a bus and taken down to Branson to see the leaves. I mean, that may be fun once in a while, but I want my life to matter still, all
okay,
right?
Okay, so what not to name your boomer group or your
well,
seniors?
Well, some of them do.
Guess.
Let's just say here are some names of some boomer groups.
Okay.
The autumn leaves. That's real positive. I mean, you're about ready to fall right off that tree.
Dude, let me give you one. We'll go back and forth. Owls.
Owls. What's it
Older, wiser, livelier saints.
Okay.
The owls.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
How about the Hilltoppers? We've just topped the hill and now we're going down.
How about seniors on the go?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Terrible.
Yeah. The mature moderns, the merrymakers, the keenagers. Get it? Teenagers, keenagers.
Oh, that's awful.
You get that?
That's awful.
Yeah. So we could the golden year wanderers, the second winders.
I love that. I like this one. TNT.
What's that?
Tried and true.
Tried and true. Okay. How about age to perfection? That sounds like a senior dating club. That's what that sounds like.
How about the speeders over 55?
Okay, we've heard it.
Oh, boy.
We've heard them all. Now, reality is we mean well when we call them that. And some of them may think it's funny and think it's okay, but long term, we need to treat our older adults with respect and dignity and really lean into their wisdom. Many of them are the strongest prayer warriors you'll ever have in your church. And lean into that and give them some heavy lifting to do in prayer ministry and heavy lifting to do even in ministry and other things like that. You'll find them very eager to be used and to be meaningful once again.
Yeah.
And not just to be marginalized and entertained like we're just putting them over here in a corner and going to play games with them. All right, so Hurst, give us four or five ways we can engage senior adults in our churches.
Well, one of the things that we have to do is be very intentional what we're doing.
Yes.
I mean, when these things that we want to share with you are things that you can do, but you have to be intentional about it. You have to strategize. How are we going to do this? And the first one that we would talk about would be you need to acknowledge publicly their history and their foundational value to the ministry of the church.
You know, Mark talks about a lot of times, Mark Halleck here, about you're walking into their story. When you become a pastor of a church, you're walking into their story. And you mentioned even things like Thanksgiving, Mark. Mm. And, you know, talk to me about that, how at Thanksgiving, just tell that little story. It's pretty good.
Yeah, well, it's like if you're invited to come to, you know, somebody's Thanksgiving table by a friend or whatever, well, it's not your job. You're there as a guest. You're there to learn. You're there to listen. Your job isn't to critique Aunt Marge's mashed potatoes, you know? Mm-hmm. Your job is to listen to eat the mashed potatoes, join in the celebration of those mashed potatoes, regardless of what you really think about the mashed potatoes. I think it's a posture of humility. It's a posture of learning.
And if you ask her, where did you get this recipe for these mashed potatoes? She'll be glad to tell you
the history. She wants to tell you.
Where that came from and how she got it and what she's done with it over the years. Ask them their stories.
That's exactly right.
They live to tell you their stories. Their stories matter. They still matter.
That's right.
How did you become a member of this church? What are some of the best things God ever did for you in your life? What are some of the greatest things you ever saw happen in this church?
That's right.
Who's one of the best pastors this church ever had? Can you tell me one of the greatest sermons you've ever listen to their stories. Let them know you value their history.
In fact, that should be step one as a pastor. You're coming
really
into a
is.
Church. You just need to listen. Ask good questions. And listen.
Stop looking
well.
Listen.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
And if you find out they have, this is so important, if you find out they have a hobby or a skill or something they're particularly good at, ask them how you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you came across an older senior adult man who was good at making flies, you know, like for
fishing flies.
Fishing flies.
Yeah.
If you asked that man, he said, if I came over to your house, could you show me how to make one? You would make his day.
Dude, totally.
Or if you have a senior adult lady who she makes a cake for your birthday, and your wife, this is tricky, but if you get your wife to say, could you maybe go over to Mildred's house and find out how she made that cake? If she were to ask Mildred, could you show me? It would be make her day.
Oh, for sure.
Ask them to teach you something.
That's good.
They need to feel like they still matter, and they've got a lot to teach.
That's right.
All right?
Absolutely.
A lot of experience, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and you talked about you don't just come in and take over and, you know, it's all of a sudden it's your game, you know, as a pastor.
That's right.
You got to remember, and that is that you cannot neglect the probability, and I mean, I'm using that word wisely, the probability that many of your senior adults were influential in ministries of other churches before they came to yours.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know, you're the new kid on the block, but they were the new kid on the block at one point. But they came from influential ministries. Mm-hmm. They know stuff.
They do. They know stuff.
They do.
That's right.
Secondly, take time as a pastor, to drop by their Sunday school class.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Just go up on Sunday morning and say, can I take a minute and just pray for you all and glad you're
guys,
here?
We're talking about low-hanging fruit here.
We're low-hanging
fruit. But this is the stuff that makes all the difference in the world.
It does.
I mean, if I was at your church, Dan, and you lead this great community of older saints, and as a new pastor, I just made on every Sunday, just came in and gave some hugs and encouragement mm-hmm. and told, I mean, what would that do?
It would change. It would change your ministry. It literally would change your ministry. It would change. Pastor. In the class that I have, I teach a class at my church. I've been there now for 30 years. In 30 years, our lead pastor, and we've had 4 lead pastors in that time. In that time, in 30 years, each pastor has visited once.
One
in
time.
30 years.
Wow.
In 30 years.
Wow. And this is a class of a couple hundred people.
Yeah, this is not a little class.
Yeah, it's a huge class, and most of them are senior adults.
Okay, what would you say? Okay, so say I'm a young pastor. Why do you think that is? Is it insecurity maybe? Is it just lack of care? Is it?
I don't know the answer because I think it changes obviously with everyone and strategies and intents and goals.
And I think they take them for granted.
Those
old people are going
to
show up.
They're good to go.
Yeah, I need to work on these other people.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
They're going to give. They're going to be here.
They're steady. They're fine.
The whole point of this podcast is documentation tells us they are not going to be there, that they are reducing in attendance significantly, and maybe you don't even see it. It's the silent leaving that's happening. And so just stop by their Sunday school class.
Right.
If you find out that they're going to have some kind of a gathering, go hang out with them.
Sure.
Just spend time with them on a regular basis. Whatever their gatherings are, make it a priority to be there. If they have a By all means, if they have a monthly dinner, you need to be there.
Yep.
And just stop by their Sunday school classes. You don't have to talk or say much. Just wave
just
and say,
show up.
Yep. I'm glad you're here and all that kind of thing. Just, it's so vitally important to do that.
We have our choir leader. This guy by the name of Rick Moore. And Rick makes it a point to walk through our class about every other Sunday at the beginning. They
love it.
They love him.
That's so cool.
And yet, the last pastor, we're without a pastor, lead pastor right now, that pastor in 5 years came through once. So you see my point.
The
my
little
point
things
is,
that
it's
make
the
a
little
big
things,
difference.
Little things. How about this? The fact of the matter is, and one of the reasons they are so involved in their Sunday school class or life group or whatever as you want to call it, one of the reasons is because they want to feel connected to each other. But one of the reasons they want to feel connected to each other is because each other is in that church.
That's right.
And they want to feel connected to each other and to the church and to their pastor.
Mm-hmm.
They want that.
Yeah.
They need community as much as any age group in your church needs community.
Sure.
Because first of all, they're lonely.
Yep.
They've lost the community of their workplace. Okay, they've lost the community of their family. Many of their family has moved away. If they are in the town, they don't come over very often. They're lonely.
Yes.
You don't have to be brilliant to realize that the main problem that senior adults have is loneliness, and they deeply need community.
They need community.
And so they need to be connected to the church, all generations of the church. So be very intentional about connecting them through all kinds of ways, including, are you ready for this? Using them in worship.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I first went to Warnell 20 years ago, you know, we had this dichotomy. We had a bunch of older adults well over the age of 65. And we had a handful of young adults in their 20s, nothing really in between. Those are two very different generations, especially 20, 25 years ago. Music was really – it was really different. Mm-hmm. That was the worship wars were at their peak, so to speak. I remember I called Bill Shiflett. He's over at Lenexa. And I said, Bill, could you come over here and meet with my young – worship song leader. He's having some struggles with the leading singing, these older people. He said, sure. He came over. I'll never forget. He said, my song leader showed him some of the songs we were singing. They were good songs. And Bill said, well, why don't you take a scripture here, this new song you're teaching them. It's based on this scripture. He said, why don't you go ahead and print off in really large font on a piece of paper the scripture for this, and then ask one of your older adults on Sunday morning in worship, ask him ahead of time, to read the scripture before you sing this song, so that you're working your senior adults into the, and it was amazing how that made a difference.
Wow.
The senior adults were now participating in worship by reading scripture before we sang a new song.
So
they felt connected to it. I often used, and when I was at Warren, I'd often just use the wireless mic and just take it where they were seated, and before they were seated, they could stand up, and I would have them pray either for the offering or the, but use your senior adults in worship. Now, I want to be careful. Make sure if you're trying to reach young people that you also use young people in worship.
Sure.
Don't just have all senior adults up there.
It's a both and.
It's a both and. Yep. You need to have young men and young women. You need to have young men and young women at the door. Have some children, families at the door greeting people. But don't neglect using, especially in the worship time, using your senior adults because they often feel very disconnected. They don't understand the worship anymore. It's not like what they grew up with. We don't have any hymnals anymore. All they got these big screens and the music's really loud. But if you give them some things to do in worship and meaningful things to do, I remember the song, of course you know the song, the old Gaither song, Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Mm-hmm. When I was, this was just a couple of years ago, I was over helping Jonathan replant Raytown, reach Raytown. Mm-hmm. And again, Jonathan's this young African-American kid, got a big heart for everybody, and he's got a church full of aged white people. I mean, it was in a very African-American neighborhood. And I remember he heard this one older lady. She liked that song. And so he wrote out the lyrics to that. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. And he asked her to read that in one morning worship, you know. There's a reading part there where Gloria Gaither would read this. Mm-hmm. And so she read it, and she began to cry as she read it. We all began to cry as she read it. It meant so much to her. Mm-hmm. It meant so much to that church. And I was so proud of Jonathan for including her in worship that way.
I love that, man.
I mean, so that kind of thing is just be sensitive and engaging and get them engaged in worship. Mm.
You know, your senior adults in your church have – somebody that they consider to be their representative. Hmm. You know, it's probably unspoken.
There's a bell cow with them, isn't there?
Yeah.
There's a guy or a lady who kind of they look to.
Yeah. And they, you know, that person just kind of the not the lightning rod, but kind of the cohesion, if you will, for that group. If they're going to do something, that person is probably involved in it. If somebody is sick, they make sure that this person knows about
it.
You know, that sort of thing. You need to connect with that person.
That's right.
You need to build a relationship with that person.
Right.
And I mean, you need to focus on it. Be very intentional about it because, and it could be anybody. It could be a Bible study leader. It could be a social coordinator, a longtime member.
Maybe somebody who doesn't even have an official job.
Exactly.
But it's just the person they all look to.
Sure. Yeah. And it could be an old staff member. You
could
know,
be. Oh,
but
very
somebody.
Well, very well may be an old staff member.
Yeah. So somebody, and you need to build a relationship with that person. And then I'd take it one step further. Together, connect with the senior adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they need to see the two of you connected, and that you are that you are in each other's
pocket.
Boy,
that is such a good word. You're talking about a gatekeeper.
Sure,
there's some senior adult in your group that's really kind of the gatekeeper, and if you need to connect with them and receive credibility through them.
Yeah.
Also, they can help you with problems. Again, going back to Warnell, when I first went there, we had some real difficulties between the two generations. This one young man, he was leading our music, and his parents came to hear him. He'd only been there a few weeks, and you know he's turned out to be an amazing minister in his whole life, and I couldn't be more proud of him. But he was kind of, you know, he was new and just learning his ropes, and we had an older man there who'd been a member there for over 50 years, and he'd become kind of curmudgeon-y. I wouldn't know what that meant. You know, I don't understand old men who become curmudgeon-y. But he was used to a choir. He was used to a pipe organ. In fact, back in the day, Warnell had a paid soloist named Dean Wilder, who was head of the music vocal department at William Jewell.
Yeah.
So every Sunday, Dean Wilder would sing, and you had an organist, a pipe organ. And so here he is trying to deal with this college kid and a guitar in jeans, and he just had enough. And so this particular Sunday, this kid's mom and dad were standing down front talking to him. And this man came down, and I saw him coming, and I knew what was coming. And he just led into this kid about, you don't know how to play guitar, you don't know how to sing, you don't know how to lead worship. And it was just awful. And, I mean, I just saw the kid melt right in front of his parents. And I had talked to this older man so many times and gotten nowhere with him. And, Dan, I did exactly what you said. There was a lady in that church who was really the catalytic leader of all the senior adults. And I just went to her that afternoon and I said, you're going to have to help me. I said, can you help me deal with him and the way he's treating especially our song leader? And she said, I'll do my best. And she took a couple of other guys with her, and they talked to him. And I mean, from that point on, I never had a problem with him again. I'm not telling you it's that easy.
No.
But I'm telling you, I leaned into their relationship with him rather than me just going to him.
Very wise.
So you lean into these relationships these people have, and you may find they can solve problems you couldn't solve, is what I'm trying to say.
That's good.
Which brings us to the last point, and that is that, you know what? Your senior adults want to be involved in your ministry. They just don't know what to do most of the time.
Right. That's right.
So you need to intentionally promote ministry opportunities that are designed for them.
They
find ministries for them.
They love to pray. Give them specific prayer tasks. Also, many of them, if they can still write, what we did, going back to Warnell, we would give things to the teachers and the cafeteria workers and the staff, the custodians at Southwest High School, give them gift cards or other things like that. And I would go buy wonderful little note cards, and I would write out what I think should be on it. But I would give them to the senior adults, and they would take them home, and they would write personal notes on all of these.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we would pack lunches or suppers, whatever. We pack meals for the basketball team at Southwest. So when they traveled, they could take a sack lunch with them.
Hmm.
So again, I would give the sacks to the senior adults and let them write encouragement notes on those sacks to each of the boys. Things like that mean so much to them.
Yeah.
Be creative and find things they can do, and then celebrate what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday morning, celebrate what they've done. If you do these simple things, they will not leave. Now, they may have a physical problem that makes it hard for them to get there. They may miss their relatives and their friends who used to come. That we said before, showing up and seeing empty chairs where someone you loved for all those years has passed away reduces your motivation to come to church.
Sure.
It really does. But if you'll do these things, you can overcome those obstacles, and you can keep these people active and engaged in ministry until the Lord takes them home. And that's what you want to do.
Well, we hope this has been encouraging to you and that you maybe have thought of a couple of things that you could do starting immediately to make a difference in that generation in your church and make such a difference in their lives. And when you do that, I promise you, they will begin to make a difference in the lives of the other generations in your church. Because believe me, they want your church to grow. They want your church to thrive. And you know, the truth of the matter is, I think they want you to thrive also. You just don't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've got to find that out from them. Hope that's been a blessing to you. Thank you to Midwestern Seminary for allowing us to be here to record this podcast, and also to the North American Mission Board for making it possible. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Please feel free to email us or go on Facebook and leave us a message or just call Mark up. And
just call me up.
Yeah, anytime.
Call me anything you want.
And he's sitting by the phone now. So.
I am.
All right.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.